Father, we come into your presence this morning and we think about the coming of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, for so long Israel did wait for the coming of Emmanuel, and yet he came. And so, God, we thank you for loving us enough to send your Son on our behalf so that we could be in relationship with you. Father, I pray this morning that you would open your word to us and you would speak to us by your Spirit and that you would comfort us, you would challenge us, Father, but yet we would feel your love and know that you are with us. And so, God, do all these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, and welcome to those of you online as well, and we had a great concert the last two nights, so I hope you all were able to be a part of that, and if not, hey, we're going to have a great Christmas Eve service as well on December 24th, and so you can come join us for that. In fact, got a lot of things going on, as you know. Next week, we have a Baptism Sunday, and we're going to celebrate three folks that have said, I want to make Jesus my Lord, and so we're going to baptize them, as well as we're going to try to dip our toe back into doing some mission stuff around the world, and so we're going to have just a brief missions meeting after church, find out who's interested, who might be crazy enough to try to go somewhere with us this year, and so if that's you, we want you to be a part of that. And also, Shelley wanted me to let you know that She's now creating weekly a children's bulletin that's available back here on the tables back there. So you can grab one of those if you have kids, bring them in. There's a lot of good things in there that they can do, and they follow along with the sermon. And so I'm hoping that that'll be a great thing for kids to enjoy. Now this week we're going to continue our Advent series, and each week we've been looking at a picture of Christ in the Gospels and what each Gospel writer tells us about who Jesus is, and then how that leads us into one of these fruits of the Spirit that we've been talking about. So last week we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, and saw that Jesus was the Word, that very speaking, creating, saving power of God come to earth. And in that, we get to experience joy, that there is real joy to be found in Christ now that he has come. And this week, we're going to look at Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you, go ahead and open there. We'll be jumping around in that passage. And we're going to see what this passage teaches us about who Jesus is and how we can experience the love of God based on what Matthew has to tell us. So we're going to look at it in three parts this morning. We're going to look at the virgin birth of Jesus and a couple of reasons why this is important to Christianity and us as believers in Jesus. And then we're going to look at two names given to Jesus here in the passage, the name of Jesus, God saves, and Emmanuel, God with us, and how those move us to experience God's love for us. So let's jump right in and start talking about the virgin birth of Jesus. We'll, as we said, we'll note a couple of reasons why this is important as we sort through this. So look what Matthew says in verse 1, 18 through 19. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus the Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So I want you to see here, the very first thing that Matthew tells us about the birth of Christ is the fact that Mary was not yet married to Joseph. She was engaged, and yet she had become pregnant with a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to stop just for a moment and embrace the awkwardness of this story. Okay, sometimes I think we kind of lose the humanity of what's going on here because we're so focused on the great miracle that's being presented, but let's embrace the hashtag awkward here for just a moment. Now, every year in our household, we have a Christmas tradition to watch an older movie now called the Nativity Story, and I would encourage you to watch it. It has some great scenes that show you how really awkward this must have been for Mary, for Joseph, for their family, for the community that was wrestling with how do we deal with this. I mean, picture this. here's a young woman engaged to be married, and lo and behold, I'm pregnant. This would be awkward even in our hyper-sexualized culture. And so to make matters worse, Mary says, yeah, it wasn't some guy. This was God's doing. Okay, think about that for a second. If your teenage daughter comes to you and says she's pregnant, and you ask, well, who was it? And she said, well, it's God. You would probably say, well, I'd like God's phone number and address because we need to have a conversation. And we know that from Luke's gospel, this was even more confounding for Mary herself. Luke 1, 34 through 38, after hearing from the angel Gabriel that she was going to conceive a son, she says, yeah, that's great, Gabe, but how will this be since I am a virgin? So there she's affirming her virginity, and Gabriel tells her that this will be through the Holy Spirit. And in fact, also, just so you know it's the Holy Spirit, your relative Elizabeth is also going to bear a child who's been barren for many years. And I want you to know that everything is possible with God. And Mary's response to that is, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me. Now, we know that Matthew 1:19 clues us in that this was a hard pill to swallow. So Joseph hears what's going on, and you can imagine the talk, as we've said, in the village and about them. And so it tells us that Joseph, being a just man, not willing to put Mary to shame, decides to divorce her quietly. I want you to see, this is a quite profound verse, because Joseph had every right under the Old Testament law to have her stoned to death for adultery. And yet he says, I'll have mercy, and I'll put this thing away quietly because I care for Mary. I think we get a picture of God's heart even for us in the way Joseph treats Mary. And so we know this situation is resolved at last when Joseph receives a vision from an angel in a dream that tells him, look, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. This baby is of the Holy Spirit. And we see Joseph's faith in Matthew 1:24 and 25, where he goes ahead and he takes Mary. The baby is born, and then he names it Jesus, as the angel had instructed him. Now, what can we learn from this? What can we learn from the virgin birth? Here's a couple things. First, Mary and Joseph had quite an amazing faith to be emulated. You know, there's no telling the amount of hardship they endured because of this story. And yet, they believed what God said, and they lived it out. See, this is a great example for us. As followers of Jesus, we're going to be called to walk in ways contrary to the culture and what people are saying around us. Sometimes it will be awkward. Sometimes we will look silly. Sometimes we will be shamed. And yet, just like Mary and Joseph, we are called to be faithful to what God has called us to do, no matter what the cost. We look at this birth, it also teaches us the means by which Jesus could be the holy, sinless person that we needed to be the sacrifice for our sins. So the Bible teaches us that when Adam sinned, his original sin tainted humanity, and so everybody born from him was born guilty in sin. We had an inherited sin nature, and as soon as we can act on it, we do. And we do that in a million ways. But what happens here in the virgin birth of Christ is that lineage, it's interrupted. Suddenly, the Father is taken out of the picture. Sure, Jesus gets his humanity from his mother, and yet he gets his holy nature from the very Spirit of God himself. In fact, look at what Luke 1:35 says. It says, the angel said to Mary, look, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Saying this Jesus, born of the Spirit, he's not only man, but he is the Holy Son of God himself in human flesh. That's why Jesus is called the second Adam in 1 Corinthians 15:45, because he is born one like Adam, yet without sin again. And because of Jesus' lack of sin, he goes on to lead his sinless life, being perfectly accepted by the Father as righteous. It's his righteousness that we will get, and yet he is qualified to be the holy sacrifice on our behalf, to take on our sins and die for us, just like those sacrifices of old. In fact, 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about it this way in verse 5:21. He says, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And that leads us, I think, to this third thing we can see in the virgin birth here, that our salvation comes from a loving God. You know, it took one like us and yet without sin to redeem us. And if that is true, then there was no hope for us. And yet God would not leave us there. The miraculous birth points to the fact that we have a God who loves us enough to do the impossible so that we can be with him. And guess what? Our God still does that today. There is no impossible situation with God. When you put God in the equation, you don't know what's going to come out past the equal sign. His posture towards us is one of love, and he wants to save you any way he can, and he will go to great lengths, even miraculous lengths, to do a work in our life. So listen, whatever situation you're facing today, don't count God out of that equation. We see that even here with the virgin birth. And so in the virgin birth, we have this perfect union between Christ's humanity and his God nature, his divinity, making a perfect Savior. And all of this because God loves us. Now, Matthew's going to go on here to give us two important names for Christ that teach us more about who he is and lead us deeper into this understanding of his love. So let's look at these. The first one is this, the name Jesus, God saves. Look, when the angel appears to Joseph, he says to him about what he should name his coming baby here in verse 21. He says, "Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And as we said in verse 25, we see that Joseph does that. And as we know, names have meaning. And, you know, this is a little bit lost in our culture. We kind of name our kids for various reasons. We like names. We give them names. It's a little more akin to the way we name people with nicknames today, that we give them a name that symbolizes something about who they are or what they do or how they act. And that's what's going on here. There's a name being given to Jesus that means something. You know, I once worked with some guys that had some colorful nicknames. In fact, here's what they were. I worked with this is no joke. I worked with a cobra, a curly, a gummy, and a jug. This is what they called themselves. I would refer to them as cobra, curly, gummy, and jug, all at the same time. Cobra was an electrician, so he didn't like to get shocked, or he got shocked, so they called him Cobra. Curly had curly hair, as you can guess. Gummy had no teeth, but he was a great backhoe driver, so, you know. And Jug, he literally played the jug. That's why they called him Jug. And so this is a little more like what the Bible is doing. It's giving you a name that is telling you something about who they are. So the name of Jesus has a really rich heritage. I put the Hebrew up here in the Greek. You guys can't read that. It's fine. But I want you to see it just because it's kind of cool, so you can enjoy it this morning. But this name Jesus originally came from this Hebrew word that means to save or to deliver. And so Joshua is the first one that has this name in the Bible. Yehoshua is how you'd say it in Hebrew. And it means Yahweh saves. That's what his name means. And then later it would get shortened into this Yeshua that we see. You can see there in Ezra, some people are named Yeshua. And that would have been Jesus' Hebrew or Aramaic name that he would have gone by in his communities. And in the Greek, we have it as Jesus. Okay? So this is the name given to Jesus. And all along the way, it's meant to point us to the fact that God saves. And so Matthew gives the name Jesus and then gives us the meaning, for he will save his people from their sins. God saves. So what does this name Jesus mean for us? Okay, let's think about that. First thing I think it means is that salvation is found in Jesus alone. Listen, salvation is not found in possessions. You know, we can think of that parable that is told us the man stored up everything in the new storehouses, even built new storehouses to store all of his stuff, and then guess what? He died, right? It's not found in possessions. It's not found in relationships. You know, I was watching Saturday Night Live last night, and Billie Eilish was on there, and she's singing about one of her relationships. Relationships don't save you, sorry. Governments don't save you. We found that out this year, right? Or anything else. There's nothing that will save you. Rather, the Bible wants to show you it's Jesus that saves. God saves through this person, Jesus. In fact, Acts 4:12, Peter says, there is no other name given among heaven, among men, by which we must be saved. Paul says it, or John says it this way, or Jesus says it in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're drowning in life, the Bible says, look to Jesus. He's the one that saves. If you're enslaved in your sin, stuck in addiction, the Bible says there is salvation to be found in Jesus. Here this morning, you feel like your life is broken beyond repair. There is salvation to be found in Jesus. And God has given him this name so that you would know there is one through which salvation can be found. This name also means for us that God loves us. You know, we love John 3:16, this classic verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. See, God doesn't want us just to stay stuck where we are. He loves us as his special creation. In fact, it's telling us he loved us so much that he wanted to make a way for us to be back in relationship with him. And listen, God's love for us is deep. God doesn't love you like Santa Claus does. Santa Claus only likes you when you're nice. Rather, Jesus loves you when you're naughty. And really naughty. He loves you deeply, and Jesus is proof of that. In fact, 1 John 4, 8-10, here's what John tells us. He says, look, God is love. And here's the love of God. It was made manifest among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John is telling us that God loves you even when you don't love him, even when you're really naughty. Jesus gives you a big fat present even when you didn't make the nice list. God loves you even when you don't want to believe he's real. John is telling us that God loved us so much he sent his son for you. Paul says it this way about God's love in Romans 5:8. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God doesn't love you just when you're cleaned up and perfect. In fact, he loves you when you're broken and in a mess. Last night we sang this song, and I thought it was so fitting at our concert. It was, O Come All Ye Unfaithful. That's the message of the gospel, that God is inviting us through the person of Christ in a relationship to him when we're a broken mess. Because he loves us. He asks us to come and be healed and find salvation in Christ. Now, it's pretty cool when you start going through the Gospels and look at the many ways that God loves broken people. I was reminded of this week. Think about the woman at the well in John 4, 1 through 45. First of all, this was a woman of a different racial background and a woman that no one should have been talking to from Israel. Jesus begins to talking to her. She had five husbands, now living with another guy. Broken marriages, sexual dysfunction. And he shows kindness to her. And guess what? He even reveals his true identity to her. She asks him who he is, and he says, I'm exactly who you say I am. I'm the Messiah. God loves her. I like to think about Zacchaeus in Luke 19:1-9. Chief tax collector, crowds are saying, that dude's a crook. See how he lives? He's cheating people. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. He's not put off by Zacchaeus. And in response to Jesus, Zacchaeus' willingness, he says, I'll give everything back to the poor. I'll repay everybody I've defrauded. And Jesus says, salvation has come to your house today, Zacchaeus. God loves people through Christ. Matthew 9:11-13, the Pharisees couldn't grasp with this. They say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus responds, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I don't come to call the righteous, but sinners. That's God's love for us. Not to mention the healing of the demon-possessed, the healing of lepers, the chronically ill, the mentally ill, the paralyzed, the blind, the raising of the dead. The name of Jesus means that God wants to save us, and in Jesus' life, he demonstrated that love for us. And his open invitation is to us to come. We read this last night, but I'll read it again. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Listen, that's God's invitation to us in Christ, that he came out of heaven to us and he stands here ready to save. That's what his name means. Jesus saves, and he says, just come walk with me. Let me in. We can do this thing. And so becoming a Christian starts with confessing Jesus is Lord and then walking with him in all of his ways. I'd like to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus this morning, come to know him this Christmas season so that you can celebrate what he's done. And then we get to experience his love. So the name of Jesus teaches us that God saves in the person of Christ because he loves us. But then Matthew goes on, he's going to give us another name, and that's this. It says the name Emmanuel, that God is with us. So Matthew 1:22-23, Matthew tells that the birth of Jesus fulfills the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah some 700 years previously. In fact, he's quoting Isaiah 7:14, which says this, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, this is a fascinating citation by Matthew. If you go back and look at the original context of Isaiah 7:10-25, here's what you'll find. That King Ahaz had gotten into some trouble. Okay, northern Israel and Syria are coming down. They're making war against Israel. And Ahaz is scared. And so is all of Jerusalem. And so he rejects God's advances towards him to make him feel calm. And so he sends Isaiah the prophet to say, I'm going to give Ahaz a sign that I'm going to be with you. And so Isaiah comes and gives him this prophecy that a son is going to be born that will show Ahaz that God is with him. And so we believe that this was fulfilled in Isaiah's day, whether it's the son that comes to Isaiah in chapter 8, whether it was a son born to Ahaz or somebody in the community, there was a child born that showed Ahaz, God is with you, and if you'll trust me, we can defeat these enemies. In fact, God does go ahead and defeat those enemies as he sends Assyria down to wipe them out. As we sung this morning, one of my favorite Christmas songs is this, O come, Emmanuel. And the second line of that verse is, as you know, O come and ransom captive Israel. In the time of Isaiah, it was that sign to Israel that God would save them from these advancing enemies. And in Matthew's day, Israel was looking for another savior, a Messiah that would save them from the current political oppression they were under. And yet, we know that it pointed forward to something bigger that God was doing spiritually in Christ to save us from our exile away from Him because of our sins. In fact, that's the whole storyline of the Bible, that God is bringing us back into relationship with Him. So what does this name, Emmanuel, mean for us today? First of all, in the biggest sense, it means God is with humanity. You know, God can feel distant. God can feel hard to access. God even doesn't feel real. And sometimes we wonder, is this real? But the coming of Christ into the world is meant to teach us that, yes, God is real. Look at Christ. Look at Emmanuel. This is my symbol to show you I am with you. That He is with humanity. So if you're here this morning wondering if God is real, God says, look at my Son, I'm with you. I am real. I came from this spiritual world beyond and I sent my Son and now you know that I am here. And it also means that for those of us that come into a relationship with Christ, that God is with us personally. God becomes with us personally. In a personal way. When Jesus becomes Lord, it talks about the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us as believers. That's God with us. And that's good news. This means whatever you face in your life, we have a loving God who is in us and with us. In fact, that's what Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 records Jesus saying. It says, look, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can say then, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And I think we experience God being with us in a couple ways, which cause us to deeper experience His love. As we've said, Jesus will now walk with us in the stuff of life. I had a new experience this week. I had an MRI this week. Nothing too serious. Just making sure everything's okay. And that's quite an experience if you've never had one. I used to install these in hospitals when I did construction. So I've been around them, heard them, but I've never been in one. It's quite a different thing to go into that tube in that close space with all the noise going on. And I can see why people get freaked out. And as I was sitting in there, I was like, you know what? I don't have to worry about anything here. God is with me. So I just began to sit in there and pray quietly in my head and just had some time with God. It's a good time. And that's our loving God who, like a good parent, comes in the middle of the night to us and says, I'm here. I'm with you. And His invitation to us is, hey, let me in. I want to be with you. Let me walk with you. And so part of our responsibility as believers is to let Him in, invite Him into our life. Let God be with us. It's a great thing to start your day by getting up in the morning, thinking through all the things of the day, praying them out to God and saying, God, be with me in these things, work in these things, and then see how God moves through all of those. Even in the midst of the day, things are going crazy. God, help me with this. God, I need you right now. And He'll be there. God with us. God, we also experience God being with us in our brokenness. You know, think about the worst thing you did this week. Don't think about that too long. It might not go well. But if you know Jesus, listen, God was right there with you in the midst of the junk. That's scary at one level, right? You're like, I hope God didn't see that. Well, He did. But it's comforting at another. This week, I was reflecting on my week, and there was some times that I didn't speak kindly to my kids as I should have. I acted in anger at times, but you know what? God is right there with me, and He starts having a conversation with me. It always starts with, you know, I love you, right? And then but there's some things we got to work on here, and Why don't you let me help you with that? Like, why don't we work on this together? He doesn't leave us there. He actually embraces us and shows us how to walk out of these things that we've entangled ourselves in. One of my favorite verses when I'm down is 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a good promise from a good God who loves us. He doesn't leave us. He says, rather, let me be with you and heal you, and let's keep going together. This is our good God. Finally, we see that when God is with us, he's also there to bless us. Being in God's presence, this has been the whole goal of the Bible. We were estranged from God in the garden as we sinned. We lost the presence of God, and then God comes chasing after us. He has all these ways that he's helping us get back in his presence, from the law given to Moses to Christ coming so that we could be back in his presence. This is the whole goal of the Bible. And yet when we are in his presence, there are good things to experience. Get to experience God's love. Get to experience real joy, real peace, relationship with him, hope. I love Psalm 16:11. It says this: in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Listen, part of what God's doing in our life is to bring joy and good things in there. God is not just wanting us to be in a holy huddle and all fuddy-duddy. He wants us to enjoy life. And that comes when we're in his presence, when he is with us. It's a really good thing to walk with Jesus. And one way we can be with him in that moment is just to begin to thank him. Thank him for all the things that he's doing. I find myself daily thanking God for the ways he's working in my life, thanking him for the things that he's bringing into my life that I get to experience. Like this week, I just sat around saying, God, thank you so much for this snow. I mean, I like to ski. That's part of it. I'm not going to lie, right? But also, it made our city beautiful, right? It's just a great thing. And it's provision for drinking water. God, thank you that you care to bring us snow. Lord, thank you for this city. You know, I've been watching stuff on the news, all this stuff going on around in our world. Our city's pretty great. Thank you, God, that you have placed me here. And then just rejoicing over our church family. Two great nights of music and worshiping God. Lord, thank you for this church and the light that it is in this community. Thank you for what you're doing. I've also seen God provide for so many families this week in some miraculous ways. I wish I could share them, but just know that God has moved in some amazing ways, and I'm just so thankful for what he's doing. He is good. Now, we'll end with this, and Banjin, come on up. Paul speaks about in Romans 8:31 through 39, he speaks about the amazing love that we have in Christ because he is with us. He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's people? And the answer to those questions is no one, because God is with us. In fact, beyond that, he says, look, we're not only loved by God, we're not only doing well, we are more than conquerors because God is with us. Look how he says it in verse 38. He says, for I am sure of this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's God's good promise to us, that he did a miracle so that we could be in relationship with him, that he saves us. Jesus saves. God saves. And when we get saved by him, we experience his love towards us. And then he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Emmanuel, God with us in all of life and in all of eternity. God loves us. So we're going to come to a time of communion. We're going to celebrate God's love for us this morning. And let's just reflect on the fact that Jesus has saved us because he loves us and he is always with us. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word to us in the Gospel of Matthew. Father, help us to see the miraculous nature of what you did to bring your son into this world to save us. God, we confess that Jesus, you save. And Lord, we know through Jesus we can experience your love, and we can confess, Emmanuel, that you are with us. Make those truths so deep and true to us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.